Proverbs 24, verse number 16. This verse will always have a special place in my heart. For those of you that have been here a long time, it was way back in the old building. I was preaching on this exact verse on a Wednesday night. And back then, we used to have teen soul winning on Wednesday nights. And I used to drive the bus for that. And this was our last stick shift bus we had. How many remember the story I'm about to tell? Yeah, a few of you raising your hand. And it was a stick shift bus. And I don't know, Brother Poss, where'd Brother Poss go? Oh, he must be preaching in, oh, hey, Brother Poss, were you in the youth group when I drove that bus and parked it, and you know what happened? Were you still in the youth group then? I think you were. Yeah, I think you were. Anyway, I think Brother Jake and all of them were on the bus, and I drove the teens, and I dropped them off, and I was close by my house, and I needed to use a little boy's room, so I pulled my bus up, pulled the church bus up, parked right in front of my house, and I put it in gear and put the emergency brake on. Why? Because it's an Independent Baptist bus. That's why you do that. And I ran in the house just real quick, just to go to the little boy's room. And as I came out, the bus was gone. And it was parked on my neighbor's porch, and I crashed into his roof and was, like, parked in his living room almost. I mean, he literally crashed into the part of the roof and was parked. And they were elderly neighbors. And before that, a few months before that, a tree in my backyard fell on their house. So these people were, like, not happy with us. And they come out, and I'm like, oh, my, I cannot believe this. So, you know, I'm calling at the time. Randy Marks is here, and I'm calling him saying, hey, Brother Randy, you're going to have to get another ride. The bus isn't available right now. He's like, what? I said, I'll tell you later. And the police came, and the police couldn't believe the bus rolled down the hill. Sure enough, when they got into it, they saw that it was in gear, and the emergency brake was on, and, you know, I had to go to court and all that stuff. Thank God everything got excused. I didn't have to pay any fees and insurance coverage. Thank God for insurance at that time. And then that Wednesday night, I had a personal illustration on how when you fall, you got to get back up. And I said, I don't feel like preaching tonight, but I'm going to get back up and preach to you anyway. And I love this verse. I think it's an encouraging verse. And by the way, I'll tell you, I've had many, many instances like that. That's probably one of the most famous ones. You don't remember that, Poss? Yeah, you were here. I thought so. Brother Poss does remember that. He was in the youth group, I think, at the time. Him and Brother Jake, it's that long ago. And just, you know, good old memories. But here's the deal, church. We are going to fall. Let's just go ahead and get that out of the way. Now, we don't want to, and we should not plan to, and we should not establish goals like, okay, I'm going to try to live holy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but on Thursday, I'm just going to plan a fall. All right, we should resist, we should fight it, but let's be honest tonight, church. We will fall. And in this verse, the word fall means to make a big mistake. In context, you can apply it to a sin. You can apply it to a struggle. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 or 12 talks about laying aside the weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Weights will sometimes cause us to fall. The sins will cause us to fall. But I want you to look real quickly at verse, a really powerful verse. Look at verse number, 10. Verse 10, the same chapter says, for if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Now, fall and fail are separated by one letter. And if you'll notice, the Bible says that the just man faileth seven times. It doesn't say that. It says falleth. I believe in the Christian life, you fail when you stay down. Our failures will cause us to fall. A mistake will cause us to fall. But Christians, a sin will cause us to fall. But many times you'll continue to stay down as a Christian, and you miss the opportunity to get back on your feet again and do something for God. I love this quote, failure is more so an event and not a person. However, the devil would like us to believe that failure is always a person. And if he can get you to believe that you failed so many times, you might as well just stay down, because there's nothing worse seen up here than you'll stay down and you'll never see the blessing, the opportunity of getting back up. So tonight I want to give you four quick thoughts and encourage you. Number one, I want you to notice the fall. The fall. We will fall. I have fallen many times. I have failed many times. I've made many mistakes. I've sinned. I've fallen. 20 years as your pastor, I've fallen. But the only reason I can make it 20 years is because for every fall, I've gotten back up again. I've had the blessing of working with horses through the years. We don't do it a whole lot lately. Back 10, 11, 12 years ago, my brother and sister loved to volunteer me to break the horses. They never would break the horses. You know that's true, sister. Don't lie in church. They would always volunteer me, probably because I'm the crazy one of the family. But I thank God, because the McNellys are here because of a horse. And I'll never forget one time in particular, I was on a horse. It was my dad's horse, Cam, who could drink Coca-Cola out of a can. It was hilarious. He'd hold a can up and he'd suck the Coke right out of it. He was a weird horse. He was demon-possessed, I believe. And I was trying to get on Cam, and I was working on him. And one night, he was just mad. He bucked me, and I fell off, and I fell. I usually fall off okay, but that particular night, I fell off bad. I landed on my hand, and my hand felt okay. I felt like I was okay, so what'd I do? What do you do? What do you do if you fall off a horse? Those of you know a horse, so what do you do? You get right back on. I looked at that horse's eyeballs and said, "You're not going to break me. I'm breaking you." And I got back on the horse, and we fought with him for a while. I went home that night, went to bed, woke up in the middle of the night with pain like I'd never felt in a long time. I mean, it's like someone took a knife and stabbed me in my chest. I went to the doctor's office the next day. Long story short, bumped into Heather. Your spiritual pastor didn't even have a track on him. I had to run out to my car to get a track to give to her. Invited her to church. She got saved, and the rest is history. Praise the Lord. What I did was I didn't know you could do this. I bruised a lung. When I fell on my hand, I bruised my lung, and it hurt for like 6 weeks. And I was preaching camp. Anyway, long story short. But the point is, I got back on the horse, and you have to. Those of us that learned to ride bikes, right? Back in the day when you used to ride bikes, now you play it on a video game. You ride bikes on a video game. But remember back in the day when you actually got this piece of metal out with two tires, and you got on it, and then sometimes you had training wheels on the back, and then your dad got clever, and he like bent them up, and you thought you still had them. You ride and crash, and you keep falling and falling, and you get back on. How many of you remember learning? How many of you know what a bicycle is tonight? Amen? Okay, two people raise their hand. See, that's the proof right there. Two people in the JC, have you ridden a bike lately? When? A week ago. Okay, I'm impressed. I'm shocked, but I'm impressed, all right? He rode it to where? Oh, he fell too. Oh, good. That makes it even better. All right, JC, tell us, how did you? Thanks, Mom. I appreciate you. I appreciate you volunteering your son for Jesus. Amen. How did you fall, JC? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Talk like a man. Your foot slipped off the pedal. That's never happened to me. That's awesome. So you crashed. What'd you do? He got back on. Thank you, JC. So you didn't go back home and tell your mom to put one of those kiddie things on the back so you could ride and you could sit in the back. No, you didn't do that. Okay. He's too tall for that. Yeah, his legs dragging on the ground, right? But you see, he crashed his bike and he got back on. I'll never forget back in the days when I went through one of my exercise fads. Y'all know I've been here a long time. I was riding bikes for a while and I got tired of flat tires. I never forgot, I decided to ride on Thanksgiving Day one day, and it was cold and it was icy. That's stupid. And I hit an ice patch, and the bike went like that. I mean, it literally went like that. I was like, okay, hello, Earth. Bam! Right on the street. Man, it didn't feel good. I got back on and rode my bike because I had somewhere to go. The point is this. We will fall. All right? So let me go and give you statement one. The sound of guys are going to love this. Let's jump to statement three, okay? We're going to go back to... This wasn't planned, but that God's leading us different, Brother Jason. All right, Brother Brad. So statement one is the fall. Number three is the rising again, okay? I'm going to go back to two in a second. All right, look at chapter 24, verse 16. It says, the just man falleth how many times? All right, notice the wording here. The just man, that means in this verse, a balanced man, falleth, F-A-L-L-E-T-H. What does that mean? It's linear. It's a continual fall, meaning God knows we're going to fall. And by the way, this doesn't always have to be a sinful thing. We might fall in just day-to-day living, missing an opportunity to be a blessing to even somebody, which may not necessarily be a sinful thing that makes us feel guilty of the heart, but we will fall. These falls can be big falls or small falls, but the fact is you fall. My niece right now, 2 years old, she's walking better and better, but boy, recently she was falling a lot. And it's funny to watch a kid fall, but it's amazing how they fall and bounce right back up. When you fall when you're in your 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s, it's harder to get back up. Somebody say amen right there, amen. And by the way, as Christians today, we need to be like that toddler and just get back up. You fall, you get back up. Why? Because that's the rising again. A just man falleth 7 times. God didn't pick the word 7 on accident. What does 7 mean? Somebody help me. It means 7 is the word of what? A number for what? Perfection also... Continual, infinity. It means something that's going to happen continually. That's why when Jesus was talking to Peter about forgiving, he said 70 times 7, meaning you should never run out of forgiveness when somebody sins against you. That's why Jesus used the numbers 70 and 7. 7 is a powerful number in the Bible. It has meanings to it. 5 has meanings to it. 6 has meanings to it. 3 has meanings to it. 12 has meanings to it. So numbers sometimes are significant in the Bible. So God says, you're going to fall, but for every fall, get back up. Hey, get back up again. I expect you to fall. I know your flesh. Hey, that's why the Bible says he remembereth our frame. We are but what? Dust. We are but flesh. As far as the east is from the west, he removed our transgressions. He knows we're going to sin. He knows we're going to fall. But Christians, watch this now. Get back up again. By the way, first let me warn you with this. If you don't think you fall, you are in a fallen state. Sometimes we get that pharisaical spiritual attitude, right? Because here's, let me park on this again because it's necessary to remind this church of this again. All right, here we go. Get ready for this. Brace yourselves. We have our own definitions for falling. And we think when somebody else is doing something that we're not doing, they're falling and we're not. But the fact is, they might not be doing something that you and me are doing. We all, help me now, let's all say it together on three. We all sin. Ready? One, two, three. We all sin. Number one, two, three, we all fall. One, two, three, we all fall. We will fail. It's a given, all right? I understand. We make mistakes. Why do you think confession is a big deal in the Catholic Church? I'm glad the Baptists don't do that. We're not going to do that. I don't want to hear about all your failures. I'm dealing with my own problems, amen. I'm glad I'm here for you. I want to help you. And if you have a problem, we're here to help you, that's for sure. But the fact is, we will fall, but we can rise again. Now, here's what the devil does, and here's what God does. Let's go back to statement number two. Statement number two. I decided to pick the word view. You know, babe, we travel a lot. My wife can testify to this. Have we ever been driving through like a deep valley like we do in Arkansas on the way to Triple S and see a sign that says, bottom view, stop and take pictures? Have you ever see signs like that? No. No, you never see that. But right after we get out of that valley, there's a big sign that says, beautiful view, stop and take pictures. And guess what? That's a lot higher, right? Most people don't sell postcards or put memes with pictures of valleys. It's usually, what do they call? Come on now. Mountaintop pictures, right? Mountaintop views. But here's what the devil wants us to do. All right, look at Proverbs 24, verses 9 and 10. He wants us to get accustomed and comfortable with the view of the fall. Birds of a feather flock together, right? And if you hang out with enough people that are content to be falling all the time, you'll just kind of, you know, cling together and you'll get used to that view. And you'll stay down. Let me ask you a question tonight. Don't raise your hand. How many of you know a Christian right now that you say, you know what, after hearing just the first few minutes of this message, I know he or she is in a fallen state right now, and they're missing out. How many of you know somebody? You don't have to raise your hand, but, I mean, nod your head. How many of you know people like that? We all do. There's people that are not here tonight that were here last year, and sadly, I hate to say this, I've said it for so many years, there's people here tonight that may not be here this time next year, and I hope not. We want you to stay and add more people, amen? But the fact is, we fall so much, we finally decide, you know what, I'm just tired of getting back up. I'm going to stay down. And the reason we stay down is because our strength is weak. All right, verse number 9. The thought of foolishness is sin. All right? And the scorner is an abomination to men. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. All right, what's the difference between someone that falls and someone that faints? Go ahead, somebody tell me. Someone that falls, someone that faints. What's the difference? It's not that hard a question, church. Come on. How many of y'all are awake tonight? What's the difference between someone that falls and someone that faints? Weakness and strength, definitely. What else? What? They stay down but quit. Well, let's talk about it physically. We got a doctor in the house. What's the big difference when someone says, Laura? Yes. Usually when someone faints, they're out. And they're like, out. My sister fainted at a wedding one time. How long were you out? Like 3 days? You know the old rule at weddings. Every time I do a wedding, Miss Marissa, you know, where's Miss Marissa at? All right, anyway, maybe she's the nursery. You have to teach people to always bend your knees. If you stay, keep your legs straight for a while, you're going to faint. When someone faints, they literally are out. When someone falls, you know exactly that you fall, and you know that you're able to pop right back up, right? That's the big difference. And it does go back to what I just heard about strength and weakness. When someone faints, they literally fall down. And by the way, sometimes when you faint, you can fall down and hit your head on your way down. Then it's even harder to wake back up, right? When someone faints, they're literally completely out. Let me tell you something. A lot of times when they come to, they just decide to stay down as Christians. That's sad, as Brother Kuncha said. Listen, church, there's a view down there, and the devil wants you to get you comfortable there. Let me tell you something right now, church. We have got to change our mindset. I'm tired of seeing Christians who fall and decide to stay down and miss out on the view from the top. They miss out on the blessings down there because they are obsessed with what happened in the past and miss out on the opportunities to do something today which will affect their futures and tomorrows. Help me now. So number two, the view and the fall. There's a view at the fall. I don't want people to be in that fallen state. Nobody cares about sea level. Nobody talks about Death Valley. Most people don't plan their vacations to deserts that are below sea level. Hey, we're going to go out to a desert where there's no water or gas stations for 300 miles and set up a tent and have a good time. No. But people do go to the mountaintops a lot. Where's Rand at? Remember when we were in Colorado and we hit that mountaintop? And we came up on that and we got above the tree line at Winter Park. Remember that view, baby? Was that one of the best views you ever saw? Well, guess where we saw it? Up high. High. It was up top. But Christians today have fallen, and they fall, and they fall. And let me tell you something. One of the reasons they stand on is because other Christians are good at beating them down. Somebody help me right there. Instead of running over and picking them back up. Hey, are we okay tonight? Hey, is anybody, are y'all live out there? Hello. It's Wednesday night church now. Somebody's preaching up here, okay? Hey, I'm talking about, I'm tired of churches full of people who are staying down. Get back up! Get back up, church. I'm not just preaching here, I'm preaching the online crowd too. Hey, get back up. It's not always easy, but it's worth it. It's not always fun, but it's worth it. Sometimes you'll be discouraged, but do it. Just get back up. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've been through. I don't care. Get back up. Get back up. Why are you so adamant about this? Because I don't want you to miss what you get to see when you're standing up instead of laying down there. Last Sunday I alluded to a I don't want to give you a whole lot about it. I think I'm building a message on how what God did in your pastor's heart over this 20th anniversary, but God gave me a new mentor without even being a mentor. My wife's sick of hearing about it. My daughter said, Daddy, you have a bromance crush on this man. I said, yeah, I do. But I come across this Navy SEAL that has really challenged me at a whole new level. And his philosophy is it's all about mindset. And let me tell you something, Christians. We've been taught and trained traditional ideas that when you do certain things, you can never be used of God. Let me show you something from the Bible tonight. There's only two things that disqualify anybody from being a deacon or a pastor. Other than that, if you have a pulse, God will use you. And I'm tired of us believing the lies of the devil. You know what's amazing about Christians? The only time the devil tells the truth is when he reminds us of our past. The Bible calls him a liar. The devil never comes to me and says, hey, Randy, remember that time you robbed a bank? He's not going to bother me with that because I have not robbed a bank yet. Not yet. He's not going to bother me or harass me with that. He knows better. But he knows what I have done, and he will bring up things from my past. And watch this now. If I listen to the devil when he's actually telling me the truth, instead of God's promise that he forgives us, shame on me for listening to that, idiot, when I could be listening to the God of heaven who says, Randy, I know you failed. Hey, I gave you my son who wore the robe of flesh. He knows what it was like to be tempted in all points, but was without sin, blessed God. And he knows what it was like. And he knows what it was like to become obedient even to the death of the cross. But he saves you, Randy, and he saves you with the intent of, you can get back up again. Yeah, we'll fall, but get back up. Yeah, we'll get knocked down, but get back up. The horse will knock you up, but get back up. Somebody will punch you and you'll fall down, but get back up. Words will hurt you, but get back up. Problems will come, but get back up. Trials will come, but get back up. You can have revival if you get back up again. All right, we're at number two. Let's go to four and I'm done. Isn't this neat? Thank you, Heather. Heather's doing this. I just texted to her and then she does all the pretty stuff. All right. You like the Roman numerals, or should we go back to just numbers? Numbers. How many said, it's been too long since I've been in school. I don't even know what one IV means. IV is what a needle when they put in your arm and they give you. All right, anyway, here we go. Now watch this. Proverbs 24:16. I'm just in a good mood tonight. God is so good. Proverbs 24:16. The just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Babe, can you look up at that verse in Micah, I think it is, it talks about getting back up again. Lord, just lay it in my heart. We need to read that verse. When you find it, let me know what that is. I don't do that often, but I just feel we're going to go off script a little bit. Not like Brother Jake. I won't be long. Trust me, okay? All right. Proverbs 24:5. I think he's watching online tonight. Proverbs 24:5. I love verse 5. A wise man is strong. Isn't that a good verse? The Bible says if you have wisdom, you are what? Strong. You're strong. That's what the Bible says here. You're strong. The wisdom of the Word of God makes us strong. Every day when you read the Bible, you are spiritually lifting weights. You're going to the gym and getting stronger. A wise man is strong. I love that. All right, verse 5. And a man of knowledge increaseth strength. Increaseth strength. Somebody's listening to their Bible talk on their phone, I think, right there. That was an Alexander Scurby, but I know it was one of those Bible voices. I know them all. So the Bible says knowledge and wisdom will increase your strength. One of the key things I had to learn in football was the power of getting back up. Man, when you play football, you will be on that ground a lot. And many times it's unexpected, man. You're running, thinking you're hitting them. Pow! Next thing you see, stars, flashing lights, and you're laying on the ground. And the first thing, it's like instant. You just get right back up and find out where the ball is and go after it again. You just got to get back up. And that's why we do all that time in the weight room and all that training in the field and all that work in the hot summers of June, July. While my buddies were at the swimming pool having fun, I was on that field sweating and working, and I wasn't saved, cussing, and all that stuff and bleeding and wondering why I was here, because when I got hit in the game, I could get back up again and help my team win. Tell you something, Christians. Today, listen. We got to be strong in the Word of God so we can get back up again. You know, there's between David and many Christians today, and I'm almost through. David actually believed God when God said he forgave him. Last I checked, if you want to go on the human level and just make comparisons, I know we're not supposed to do that, but let's just do it for fun, okay? I don't know anybody in this room that's done anything as bad and awful as David did. Murdering somebody, adultery, illegitimate child, the baby dies. Man. But when David confessed and got right while he was down, he acknowledged his sin while he was down, God met him with forgiveness when he got back up. See, here's the deal, church. Sometimes we're down and we get frustrated. We confess our sin, and God's already forgiven us. Agreed? But don't miss this truth. This is the truth I want to get. This is why I picked that word, the view from the top. You don't always see the forgiveness until you get back up. Because see, when you're down, there's too much noise. When you're down, there's too much discouragement. When you're down, there's too many memories of your failures. When you're down, there's too many haunting things from the past that will keep you there. But watch this. That's why I called it believe to see rising up again. When you get back up, the confession and the acknowledgement of your failures and your falls and the confession that we as sinners failed before a holy God, God knows that, but he's ready to grant it to you while you're down, but you're not going to see it because the view is the best from the top. But when you get back up again and you're on those 2 feet again and you're on that horse again, God shows the sun brightly and you say, hey, forgiveness is granted, and you go forward again. So in other words, you acknowledge the failure at the bottom, but you see the forgiveness when you get back up. The view is always better at the top. That's why people climb mountains to get the, just what we preached on it last, the theme of our youth conference, remember? Mount Everest. They will work for 1 year to 18 months. You know how long they get to spend at Mount Everest? Remember that? I gave you that stat. 20 minutes. That's all they get. But for those 20 minutes, a handful of people, which right now May is the season for you to hike Mount Everest. For 20 minutes, you'll be able to say, I stood on the highest part of the world. I stood on the top of Mount Everest. And very few people can say that because the view up there is unbelievable. But church tonight, as a Christian, when you're right with God and you're standing in God's grace and you're standing in the strength of the Word of God and you've fallen, but you've gotten back up. The view from that top is better than anything Mount Everest can do. And it's a whole lot longer than 20 minutes. So stay up. You'll fall, but get back up. You'll stumble, but get back up. We can learn a lot by watching a toddler learn to walk. We can learn a lot by walking a child struggle and strength. These nephews right now, my nephews are starting to be awake more. They're starting to, yesterday one of them was punching me in the face. It was awesome. He's like, bam, bam. He kept punching me in the face. He didn't know he was doing it, but he's moving more. He's trying to get his mechanics on. Soon they'll be rolling. Soon they'll be crawling. Soon they'll be walking. And they fall down and they get back up and they fall down and they get back up. And that's completely acceptable. Listen, church, spiritually speaking, I don't care if you're in your 40s, 50s, and 60s, 70s, you will fall, but get back up. The view from the top is better. Believe to see that after you fall and you get back up, the view will always be better at the top. Always. You will fall. And the fall has a view. Don't look at it. Don't get attracted by it. Don't get used to it. Don't get comfortable down there. Close your eyes, confess, get right, and get back up. Because the view's a whole lot better when you're on top. Head your bowed eyes closed. Thank you for listening so well tonight, church.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, that day when freed from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face. Clothed then in the blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy wondrous grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry, take my ransomed soul away. Send thine angels now to carry me to realms of endless day. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. Thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace.